You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
On January 1st, a one-zone fare on transit in the Lower Mainland will increase from $2.50 to $2.75. With the cost of living in Metro Vancouver rising faster than wages, this increase may leave many working people unable to afford public transportation, especially for those whose commutes involve crossing TransLink zone boundaries. Tim Lewis is a Vancouver-based lawyer, activist, and former city councillor who has long been critical of TransLink and its methods of raising revenue, particularly in a recent article published in The Mainlander that was titled, "If I Were in Charge of TransLink." He joins us now on the phone to talk about this. Good morning, Tim, and welcome to Co-op Radio.
Good morning.
I mentioned the one-zone cash fare increase. What do the rest of the increases look like?
Well, what we're looking at with these new fares is a situation where somebody earning minimum wage and traveling into Vancouver from municipalities outside of Vancouver will literally work an entire hour just to pay for their return bus fare. This is really going to have a very, very significant impact on people that rely the most on public transit. And I'm talking, of course, about low-income, poor people on income assistance, people who literally don't have any other option other than public transit.
So the transit-dependent people will be hit the hardest?
They'll be hit the hardest, as they always are, when TransLink raises fares in a very, very counterproductive effort to raise revenues. What they should be doing instead is lowering fares to increase ridership. We know from looking at BC Ferries, as an example, in an effort to raise revenue, they raised fares, and just the opposite occurred. The raising of fares reduced ridership, and the overall revenue dropped.
Well, let's put this in a historical context. What does this mean over this this history of fare increases?
We have a TransLink board of directors that just doesn't get it. They don't understand that with global warming, the crisis that it is, with greenhouse gas emissions moving us very close to, if not beyond, the point of no return, we need to be taking very, very significant and aggressive policy moves to massively increase bus ridership and not to be reducing it. What we should be looking at is removing the fare box, creating a universal bus pass, a universal U-Pass, just as we've done for students, but now for the entire public, a U-Pass that would literally remove the fare box from all forms of public transit.
How does TransLink justify this increase?
TransLink has a very inflexible, very rigid formula, which is arbitrary. And the formula that they have, the arbitrary formula, is that one-third of their revenue must be generated from fares. And so they keep increasing fares in a desperate effort to maintain that one-third of all of their costs coming from the user. And that makes about as much sense as saying that one-third of all library costs would have to be paid for by people paying each time they took out a book from a library, or that one-third of all road costs would be paid for by car drivers. It just doesn't make sense.
Is increasing fares going to make our transit system any more efficient or the funding of it any more efficient?
It's not going to make it any more efficient. I'm always reminded of a very interesting statistic I came across years ago, and that is that raising revenue from public transit fares is one of the most inefficient ways the government can raise money. Literally, 10 cents of every transit dollar collected is spent collecting that transit dollar. When we factor in we're literally talking here of millions of dollars on very technologically advanced fare box systems that were purchased a few years ago, when we're adding in all of the cost of turnstiles, when we add in, as we must, the delay each bus encounters every time they come to a bus pickup for the payment of fares, a bus stop, that literally adds up to 10 cents on every transit dollar.
You mentioned the U-Pass system. What other alternatives could be used by TransLink to have to deal with this issue?
Well, I believe that, in fact, a U-Pass would be the best way to go. I'm not aware of any ways other than U-Passes, but let me just talk very briefly about how a U-Pass system-wide might work. If every worker in the region were to pay a monthly amount, equivalent in amount that transit would be revenue neutral, in other words, removing the fare box and getting all the revenue they're currently getting from the fare box instead from every worker in the region. If we take the total amount of fare box revenue currently per annum at about $300 million and spread that over all the workers in the region and divide by 12 months, the cost of a monthly bus pass that would be unlimited in use, it would go as many zones as you wanted, would be about $40. And that would be a great deal. We could recalibrate it for low-income people. For low-income people, by the way, that would be much, much cheaper than what they're currently paying. But we could make it even better for low-income workers. It might be a requirement that the employer cost share half and half with the employee. And now we're down to $20 a month for a limitless bus pass. By doing that and by removing the fare box, ridership would skyrocket, and all the cost of collecting money would disappear.
What expansion does TransLink have planned for the next 10 years?
They've got a long track record of talking about expansion and a very poor track record of actually delivering on the expansion. Vancouver is bus short. For a city of our size, we really should have about double the number of buses that we currently have. I don't believe they have any plans, any real plans, to address that crisis.
What about this talk of an underground SkyTrain to UBC? And there's many plans they've talked about.
They do talk an awful lot, and I'm hopeful that the underground SkyTrain to UBC does not go ahead. It would be an incredible waste of money. $3 billion from commercial to UBC. A much better option that would be just as effective, but only $300 million, and so about $2.7 billion cheaper, would be at-grade LRT. If there is $3 billion available for improvements to public transit, let's create not one line from commercial to UBC at $3 billion, but 10 lines throughout the region, each at $300 million. We could have at-grade LRT crisscrossing all of Vancouver. We could be a transit leader in the world for that same cost.
Now, there's with all these changes that they're either implementing, such as the fare increase, or the ones that they're proposing, and as you say, having a bad track record of doing, how will all these changes impact the viability of our transit system as an essential public service?
Well, this is the tragedy. As they go ahead with mega projects, the RAV line from the airport to downtown Vancouver, and now possibly an underground SkyTrain from commercial to UBC, they literally bankrupt the system. All the money gets poured into a few incredibly expensive lines, and that leaves no money available for the backbone of the transit system, buses.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Tim, and shedding light on this, the deeper issues of this fare increase.
And thank you to you and to Co-op Radio.
Have a good day, Tim.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I have been speaking with Tim Lewis. Tim is a Vancouver-based lawyer, activist, and former city councillor. To read his critiques of TransLink and other writings, visit his website at timlewis.ca, and to read his article, If I Were in Charge of TransLink, you can go to the online publication, The Mainlander.